As we begin another program here on The More Abundant Life, I would like to welcome you. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for The More Abundant Life, and I do hope that you will stay tuned to our program today. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wintley Phipps. And today's message is going to be the continuation of a message that was begun in a previous program. The title today is John the Baptist, His Destiny, Part 2. This is going to be program number 171 in our series. And if you heard the first part of this message, I'm sure you're going to want to stay tuned to hear the interesting conclusion to this message, John the Baptist, His Destiny. So, stay with us here on The More Abundant Life. Our message will continue after we hear a special song by Pastor Wintley Phipps.
Sin God Tell you the most important lessons in my life I learned not on my feet but on my back. Amen. The most important lessons of my life I didn't learn it standing on my feet, I learned it flat on my back when I had nowhere else to go, nobody else to turn to. I'm talking about theology born in the wilderness of life's experiences. Only God can translate bruises into principles that keep you anchored. You're not listening to me. Only God can translate bruises into tenets and doctrines of faith. Only God can turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Only God can take the arrows that people throw at you so that you can use them for hooks to hang the blessings that He brings to your life. Only God can send a rainbow and hang it over ruin. Only God can bring joy to the downtrodden and to the heavy laden. I'm talking about the theology you learn in the wilderness of life's experiences. So the Lord tells us that in the wilderness, John could more readily deny himself, bring his appetite under control. He could dress in simplicity. You're not trying to impress anybody in the wilderness. Amen. Plus, there was, she says, nothing in the wilderness that would take his mind from meditation and prayer. No cable. Even in the wilderness, she said Satan had access to John. Even after he closed every avenue in his power, Satan still had access to him. Now, you know that story. After you've done all you can, the devil still finds a way to come at you. Amen? Like I heard of some preachers who thought the city was getting too worldly, so they wanted to move a certain school out into the country. Amen. And while they were out surveying the property, somebody stole their hubcaps. Even when you try to get away from it all, Satan still has access. And then there came that moment of John's destiny. This was the moment, hallelujah, for which he was born. I'm talking about the moment. Can you imagine God fashioning a child for a moment of destiny? For one moment of destiny. That moment came on the banks of the River Jordan. That day when John the Baptist raised his hand to bless another baptismal candidate, looked up, saw a face moving through the crowd. It was no ordinary face. It was a royal face. It was a beautiful face, forehead broad and high. Humility marked every glance of the eyes of this face. John stretched out his hands with prophetic certainty and proclaimed, "Wait a minute, there is one among you whose shoelaces I am unworthy to untie. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life." This was John's moment of destiny. It was the moment he was living for. Just like the priests who lived for that moment of destiny in the temple. This was John's moment. This was the moment he lived for. My God. For a time, the servant of the Lord tells us, John was so popular, he was greater than the priests and rulers. She said that if John had announced that he was the Messiah, everybody would have believed him and followed him. That's how powerful John was. Every consideration that appeals to the ambition of the world's conquerors, Satan had tried to urge John. Satan was saying to John, John, don't you know what you got here? All you got to do is say you're the man. You're the one. Everybody will follow you. And she says, suddenly, he noticed the attention was moved from him to another. He saw the tide. Oh, Lord Jesus. Preachers don't like to see the tide of popularity turning against them. Yeah, John saw it. He saw the tide of popularity turning away from himself to Jesus. And, are you listening to me? Day by day, as John stood up to preach, he saw the crowds dropping in his congregation. Lessening. It's not nice as a preacher to look up and see empty seats. But can you imagine? That's what John was going through. Finally, the disciples, his disciples, came to him saying, John, we got to do something about this. Rabbi, he that is, you remember him who was with you beyond Jordan? He's baptizing, and now all the people are going to him. Through John's mission, and it seemed like it was about to close. It was still possible. Listen, even that John had reached his moment, his supreme moment of destiny. And though John's mission seemed about to close, it was still possible for him to cause difficulty for the work of Christ. That's how powerful he was. Woo! If he had sympathized with himself, if he had sat and felt sorry for himself, if he expressed grief, if he said, oh, I'm so disappointed, if he had sown the seeds of dissension, he would have encouraged envy and jealousy and would have impeded the progress of the gospel. Listen to what I came across. Servant God said, John had by nature the faults and weaknesses common to humanity. But the touch of divine love had changed him, transformed him, and he dwell in an atmosphere of uncontaminated self. It was uncontaminated by selfishness and ambition. It was his joy to step aside. God, we should all be like that. Amen. That if our moment of destiny is to pave the way for someone else to step aside with joy. When he was put in jail, his disciples said, now this is too much. You stepped aside. You've done everything God told you to do. And now you're sitting in prison. But they didn't understand. This was his destiny. Whew. This is what God created John for. You see, John was the first to proclaim the kingdom of Christ. But he was also the first to suffer for that kingdom. That was his destiny. That's what God raised him up for. That's what God called him for. He was in the dungeon week by week. It passed, no change. His disciples were getting upset and bitter. They couldn't understand why the one who called him would just leave him. They didn't know that all who follow Christ are going to wear a crown of sacrifice. They didn't know that God never leads his children otherwise than they would choose to be led if they could only see the end from the beginning. Imagine the crown that waits for John, the first martyr, the first one to proclaim the gospel, the first one to suffer for the gospel. This was his destiny. Sometimes when we pray to be delivered from our trials, we don't know what we're praying for. We're actually praying to God to take our crown, our blessing, because that's your destiny. Somewhere I read that he'll never put more on you than you can bear. Well, when they found him, they said, "Jesus, we're here today because we want to know why. Why have you not your disciples, why they don't live like we live, you know? We heard rumors that your disciples don't fast like we fast." You know, that's something about people in churches sometimes. They're not happy unless you're not happy, like they're not happy. You're not listening to me. We want to know why your disciples don't follow a path of radical self-denial. We don't understand why their conduct is so gregarious. They're outgoing. We've heard reports that they enjoy their ministry. And we want to know, why is there this discrepancy of governance, of liberty? They tell us that your disciples eat like gluttons and they drink like wine bibbers. They tell us that John, that's not how John taught us. John taught us to self-denial. They tell us that you and your disciples dine with publicans and sinners, and that they have no regard for the appearance of evil. Jesus, how do you respond to these charges? And Jesus paused for a moment, then gave them his reply. Jesus said to John's disciples, "You know, when John the Baptist first saw me, he called me the bridegroom. He said that all of us were to be friends of the bridegroom. He told the people that he rejoiced to hear my voice. He told the people that he must decrease and I must increase." This was John's destiny. John had risen to the height of self-abnegation. Brothers and sisters, this was the purpose for which John the Baptist was born. To shed human pride and offer himself as a sacrifice for the coming Messiah, to lay down his very head for the kingdom. Now I want to read you something. I'm talking about destiny. You're going to hear that word more and more for the next few weeks. Servant of the Lord said in a book called Heavenly Places, "The Lord is acquainted with us individually. Every one of us is born into this world and is given a work to do." You've got a destiny. Destiny is a destination ordained and prepared by God for your life. And there are daily destinations. There are daily moments of destiny. There is somebody God has you to meet every day. There is a moment of destiny, a destination God prepares for your life every single day. And when you get up in the morning, The first thing you have to ask God to do, first of all, you got to invite his presence in your life. And then the next thing you ought to say is, God, whatever path I need to follow so I can fulfill the destiny you've prepared for me today, keep me on that path. She says, God gives everyone a place and a work. If you individually submit yourself to be worked by the Lord, however confused and tangled your life may seem to your eyes, you will know that there is a purpose that God has in it all. And that under the hand of divine wisdom, you will accomplish the purposes of God. Listen. God has a purpose in what you're going through right now. Listen. God had a plan for John the Baptist's life. He's got a plan for your life. Every day, there is a destiny. There is a path of destiny waiting for you. As I close today, God has been placing on my mind the importance of this word, destiny. Your destiny is a destination in your life ordained by God that you reach. Every day, there is a divine appointment for you to fill. Every day. God orders the universe. And he orders your path. The steps of a righteous man are ordered. Are what? Ordered. Are what? Ordered by the Lord. Every day, your steps should be ordered by the Lord. The frightening thing is that you have the right to change the destination. You have a right every day to look at the ticket God gave you and say, no, I want to go to the West Coast, not the East Coast. Let me tell you how Jesus did it before I close. Servant of God says Jesus moved in perfect harmony with God every day. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the joy of knowing that every step you take is in perfect harmony with the will of God? His every act, Jesus carried out his Father's will. The man who is working according to God's plan, that's you and me, will pray every morning, Lord, what will thou have me to do today? What is the destiny you would have me fulfill today? We think of destiny too often as eternal destiny. You know what I mean? When you get to the kingdom. But every day there is a destination God has prepared for you. When God's word is done in God's way for God's glory, you will have a joy and a peace like you've never known.
That that brings us to the end of our message for today and to the end of our program for today. I do hope that you enjoyed the message, that you understood it. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, you may call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. And today you will want to ask for program number 171 in our series. That's program number 171, which will get you a cassette copy of the title for today, which is John the Baptist, His Destiny. And that's part two of the message. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church office in person, you may do so. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. You may call the church office for directions if you'd like. Again, the phone number there is 301-577-6342. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I do hope that you'll join us again for another program here on The More Abundant Life. But until you can, as always, I urge you to remember the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.